Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
So, hi everyone and welcome. My name is Nini and I'll be your host today. Welcome to Wizards of Ecom. Kitty, how are you doing?
Hi, Naomi. Thank you for having me on the show. I know I'm back again, but it's amazing and I really appreciate being here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for accepting. Kitty, a few words about you. As you were mentioning, this is the second time on the show. The first time you were talking with Carlos about packaging and the impact of packaging on your product when it comes to product marketing. And I love that episode. And I was like talking to Carlos and I was asking who's the next on the show, who's the next on the show. And he was going like, okay, ask the previous guest, you know, who did you like the most? And Kitty is the one, you know. And she was like, yes, of course, I want to come on for the second time on the show. So I really appreciate for making it to the show once again. Kitty, a few words about you. Like, I'm aware that you're a branding expert and you're a consultant and designer also, and you're founder of Me Brand. Yes. As I was mentioning, this is the second time on the show, so we really loved you for the first time as well. And my personal why I wanted you to have on the show is I did a little digging, you know, a little bit of digging on you.
Right, okay.
And the thing that I love the most about you is you defined Me Brand as, or your slogan for it is, the only brand I'm standing behind, it's me. And that resonated so much with me because I also truly believe that you are your own brand and whatever you do, it's going to just extend in whatever, like whoever you are, it's going to extend in whatever you do, right? And the only difference between you and I is that you have 2 decades experience in branding, you know, and consulting as well. And also for Kat Winston and Ted Baker, you were a senior management in commercial design and you bring also that experience. So this is why I want to ask my questions, because I think that you're just the right fit for everything what's in your mind about branding.
Perfect. And the answer also to the reason why I chose that quote, that why I'm standing behind the brand I'm standing behind is me, is because I've always been behind other brands. Mm-hmm. And no one knows the designer behind the brands or the person that's, you know, working the cogs in the wheels, but and no one really used to know who that was. And I wanted to sort of shout about myself. So I'm standing behind the brand of Kitty now, of me, instead of Ted Baker, Kath Kidston, and all the other brands I've been working for. And I still work for brands anyway, still stand behind them. But, you know, for me, it was really important to get my voice out there and be seen as the authority in branding.
I love it. I love it. I think that addition just made even more sense for the question that I'm going to ask now. What do you think, or how would you explain the simplest way what branding is and what visual communication is for your regular Joe who knows nothing about branding?
Yeah, so a lot of people do ask what branding is, and a lot of people think it's just the logo or some visual identity, but it's not. It's more than that. Branding is like a collective impact or the experiences you get from a product or a person, and it's not just about, you know, the logo or the visual aspects. It's about what you see and hear and experience from a brand. So it's all the things. So branding is made up from certain elements, visual being one of them. So you'll have the identity, the logo, the color schemes, the photographs and all the other things behind that on the visual side of it. Then you've got the words. So your mission, your values, the copy you use on marketing, the tone of voice you use as well as a brand or a business. You have a tone of voice, how you speak to your customers as well. So there's the word element of a branding. And then there's the intangibles. So what I mean about that is the culture, the feelings, the customer experience, and positioning and consistency as well. So all these elements are put in to create a brand. And so it's not just the logo. And a lot of people get that wrong. And it's just trying to educate them. And, you know, we don't expect people to know. And that's why we have experts in the areas to tell people about it.
Got it. I think you also like covered the, I was going to ask next, like a follow-up to what's the most common thing that people are taking it mistakenly that the brand is, and that's clearly the logo in this case. Is there like a second thing that they also think that it's like, is the most important thing when it's not?
Well, is there a most important thing that it's not? I think it's really hard with branding. There's three different types of brands. You get the company and business brand, you get a product brand, and you get a personal brand as well. So there's different ways of branding those areas. When you talk about personal branding, it's all about yourself. It's about you, how you act, how you talk, how you look, how you present yourself, the impressions you make, and how you network everything to create that brand. And that is the brand of you. So how I see it with products is very similar as well. Products, you might have to create a voice for it. You know, so how you're speaking to your customers through that particular visual voice or whatever you decide to use, music could be an element of a brand. Just think McDonald's, you know that tune, right? I'm loving it. So that is their brand voice or their brand, the intangible part of the branding. And they've got the logo, the golden arches, and they've got their slogan, just loving it. You know, I'm loving it, you know. So there's so many elements that are put into it. I've kind of digressed now. I've kind of gone on to a tangent.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect. Go on.
I'll go full circle back to what your question was. So I don't really know. There isn't a wrong idea about what brand is. And I think it starts from something. So if people think it's a logo, that's where you start. And then you just have to educate them. What is it? And it's about the values and all the experience. For me, it's about the experience. And that's what I feel a branding should be about. So the experience stems from that. A brand is extended from an experience. That's what I mean.
Got it. So, for example, let's talk Amazon, private label.
Yeah.
Someone who's total newbie, has nothing to do with branding, understand anything else besides that product makes a lot of money, so I want to go for it. Yeah. And they're going to copy the competitor's product, maybe improve on it. And is that branding?
No, that is not branding to an extent. It's copying another brand. So you are creating a brand, but it's not the experience. You're copying a logo and their product in a way, but it's not the experience and how that brand might talk to their audience, because they might have a captive audience on Instagram or Facebook or their own website, and how they market it is their brand. But the person that's just copied it as a newbie, think, oh, I'll just copy it. And that happens a lot. I know that it happens a lot with new sellers, because it's a place to start. But then after a while, they start thinking, actually, now I need to go on social media. Now I need to sort of kind of do some social posts. How do we start talking to the customer? Now they're starting to think branding. Now they have to, you know, you have to start somewhere. But just copying another brand, it might not fit your product well. You know, it might not even be the right message that you're creating. You might be targeting the wrong audience as well. So you have to, as a newbie, you need to do your research really and really understand what a brand is. There's a lot of information on Google or on the websites about brand to tell you about branding. So if you don't know what that is, start with some market research. And I do tell people that I've mentored as well, like creating the business and stuff, look at other brands. What are they doing? How can you do it differently as well? So it's, you can copy, you can take a little bit here and there and stuff, but make it your own. Don't do literally cookie cutter style. You know, don't just copy what they've done. Make it your own, and otherwise you won't be able to grow, because you're just doing what someone else is doing. If you want to be a serious seller and be a brand owner, then you need to start thinking a bit more deep about what the values in your brand is, what the mission is, what are you trying to achieve with the brand that you're selling. Okay, some people might just start with the garlic press, you know, and just want to make some money from that, but then what next? I mean, you know, you might want to extend that. So you've got to think bigger, think about the grand scheme of things, not just, don't think small. So that will be my answer for newbie sellers. Think about the bigger picture. Where are you going with this? Because it's not just a one trick pony. Let's just sell, for example, the garlic press. So where do you go from there? Because I know the sellers have a vision to grow big. And I think a lot of people do have that vision, but they get stuck from the get-go. Mm-hmm. I think do your research from the very start and then grow your brand from there.
It's brilliant. As you were mentioning, like, try to reach out. And the way that I translated for myself what you were saying is like, understand what you try to achieve and just go for it. And rather than just copy whatever someone else is doing. In this case, if you're going to do a due diligence, I'm doing air quotes now for whoever is listening, on your brand, right? What are the most important things that's a must to change? Like that has to be right. Like, you cannot fail at that. What would be
the one thing I would suggest in terms of creating a brand? And if you're starting baby steps, do look at the logo. A logo is very important. It's the visual aspects. That's the first thing you'll see. And it's also the photography and the things that come with it. All the things that people see, if you've only got like 3 seconds, you know, to make an impression, people are just going to scroll past you. Oh, that looks rubbish. You know, I'm going to go on to the next product. And if you're an Amazon seller, you need to think, how does my logo look? And a lot of people get it wrong, that I'm going to have like 5-6 different colors on my logo. Let's put this there and have a drop shadow in it and I put bold font and I'm going to put a little cartoon character. And it's like, just too much. Like, rein it back, keep it simple. And the more simpler it is, the more the brand will stand out. Just use a really cool font, simple font, even start with Helvetica and put your brand on there. That already looks cool, black and white. Don't even have to think about colors or all these logos and things. You can create submarks and like things with your logo, like icons and things. But, you know, you can create a whole logo family, so a brand family of things that you can include. But start off with the simple logo idea. Don't overcomplicate it, because there's so many people that do it. They're putting gradients and drop shadows and, you know, you don't need to do that. And I guess it does depend what type of brand you are. But for me, I'm used to working with luxury brands. And obviously, a lot of customers, you know, they want to have something that looks premium. And I also do work with other clients as well. So recently I've worked with a coffee brand and it's recreating their logo and having a look at what they can do. And, you know, it's their ideas of what it looks good or how it should look. It's not how I see it. So it's, again, looking, doing your market research, and you'll see the successful brands are much more simplistic than what you think. I think people overthink. They overthink a logo. And I think you could keep it so simple, especially if you don't want to spend lots of money as well with a branding agency or, you know, with a designer. You can easily do it yourself, but keep it very simple. And again, do your market research, see what everyone else is doing, and you'll see that it is simple.
It's brilliant. I agree with you. Look at Apple, right? Like, it's only the Apple and everyone is like going crazy for it. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. You were talking about logo. So what happens if your logo sucks? Like, what's the comeback?
If it sucks, well, you know, obviously PicFu. So PicFu is a platform for you to get some market research, to get some ideas on if you have got a rubbish logo versus a newly designed logo, and do some tests with people on PicFu and see what the audience, your target audience, obviously you can select what kind of target age they are, what they earn, etc., where they live, the demographics of everyone, and then do a test and see what your logo on that particular brand, how it works, you know, how what do they think. I would say start there. If it sucks, you know it sucks, then you should get it changed anyway. So don't stick with a logo you think's not working. Ask some people, do some market research with your demographics and your target audience.
Got it. And as you were saying about, okay, change the logo, let's get a bit into rebranding. When do you think rebranding is the right thing? And when do you prevent someone like, oh no, don't do that, because like you're going to destroy your whole brand?
Yes. Yeah, so rebranding, not many companies rebrand very often, but if a product isn't selling and it's not aligned with your vision, and maybe it's changed or something and your values have changed, and you need to have a look at that and change it. You can change it, but if you've got a successful brand already, why change it? Why would you want to change something that people have recognized for decades or years? Not decades, but for years. Why are you changing that format? Because all of a sudden you change it, it's like, oh, I'm so used to the other one. Why, you know, you have to explain to your customers why you're changing it as well. What is wrong with your logo? Sometimes it's generally a tweak. Maybe it's like a tint of the color. Maybe it's just the font changed slightly, or, you know, or taking an element out of your logo. So they, the customers can still recognize your logo. If you've got a weird element to it that you think, that doesn't look quite right, you can make it more modern as well. But I wouldn't go as far as redesigning the whole thing, unless it is real shambles and your logo's not, your branding's not working, your company, your product's not selling, then maybe look at that. But if you're doing well already, then just do small changes. And if you do really feel like you have to go full hog, then tell your audience what we're doing, you know, what you're doing. To tell them like the story behind why you're rebranding and this is the reasons why, and if you've already got a captive audience, they'll understand. They think, okay, cool, we're just doing a refresh, this is how you are. And then you just drum it into everyone and maybe do a launch, you know, this is how we're going to relaunch ourselves.
Get it. So if in case that brings up two follow-up questions to whatever you're saying, like the first up, because you were saying like if you're doing changes, do it gradually so it's not so obvious, right? The second one, if it's obvious, then let everyone know. Did I understand it correctly?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So for the first version, I'm asking this because also we, like, after you were on the show, so shameless plug there, I'm an avid listener of our own show. Maybe this is why I made this co-host. But I was listening to that show and I was listening about packaging, and our packaging was the PE bag or the OPP bag, you know? And that's something that all our competitors had, and I didn't see that. Why do we need to change it, you know? And I was thinking, hey, Kitty is saying this. She's like, she's an expert. There's a reason why she's saying this, you know? And for the second product, we are going to bring a different version of it. And it's going to be like very, very changed in the sense that it looks like it's high-end product. It's not the same one anymore, you know? And I was thinking, okay, like in that scenario, how would you target the audience, or how would you help your audience understand that the second product is like a premium product? Because it's also the product itself, not only the packaging, but the product itself, it's going to be way better. So how would you tackle that?
So is it the same brand still?
Yes, it is.
You're using, so let me get this right. You're using the same brand, but it's the same product, but in a more premium looking packaging and look and feel, or a more premium product.
Correct. And also the material is more premium. So how would you like go about that?
Well, then you talk to your audience, say, hey, we've done a revamp. You know, we're bigger, we're better. You know, have a look, you know, check us out. You know, because this is what, you know, you want to promote the benefits, the features of your product, and why. Why should they buy into your new premium product if they're already liking your old product? So give them a reason why they should be buying the Porsche rather than the Ford Escort or whatever it is, you know, that. To tell them the reason why they're going to get that more premium product, and they'll understand.
Got it. That's amazing advice. Thank you so much. And the second one, it was like doing something totally differently. Like in that scenario, I have a few friends. I just recently spoke to one of my friends, and she was saying, okay, I'm going to rebrand, and the rebrand didn't work. And she's like, okay, what to do next, you know, because she was believing that rebranding actually is the answer when it wasn't. So in that scenario, how would you approach things? Or would you do a relaunch? Or let's say you're selling on Amazon, this product only on Amazon, what would the steps be there?
Oh, well, if you've done a rebrand, you've put on all this time, but it's whether they did the research about rebranding and their why have they rebranded. So that's the reason that she needs to ask herself, why has it failed? Because if she's already got a customer, like I said, if you've got a loyal following already of customers or audience, and you just rebranded all of a sudden and didn't tell anyone why you're doing it, then that might be a failure. Also, it might be people just don't like whatever they've rebranded it as. So I'm assuming the rebranding was a logo. Again, if an audience is already used to your previous logo, your previous brand, and they like it, then there might not be a reason why you should be rebranding, and your customers just don't get it. The audience don't get it because you didn't tell them about it. And maybe you should have asked them, maybe you should have done some market research thinking, we're thinking of rebranding, what do you think? And then you'll get some response and feedback as well. And again, like I mentioned PickFood before, that's a great way to get some feedback before you even spend all that money getting new packaging done or new branding or new website. So I would say, rein it back and see, why are you rebranding? And if you did, you should have done a relaunch as well. So just get everyone excited about your new branding. And so, yeah, so basically do your research, get some feedback, and then obviously tell your customers why. You need to know, they need to know why. And I think that's my answer to your question for your friend. Unfortunately, you know, it's hard to hear when you, and a lot of times people have spent millions on, you know, or thousands of pounds on dollars in your case in for America on rebranding. And it's a classic case of our Royal Mail. So Royal Mail is where we receive the post and stuff in the UK, and they changed it to Insignia. So they rebranded everything. They redesigned it. It's called Insignia. Every van and every post office will be that. No one got it. Why change Royal Mail? And it's gone back to Royal Mail with the crest and the red and the gold, because everyone knew that. And there was no reason to spend millions or however many, you know, pounds they spent, you know, they spent on it. It was a failure. It didn't last. People didn't get it. Why are you changing something that we've known for centuries, decades anyway, very long time. But it's, you know, so, you know, people just are used to certain things. And like I said, small tweaks, if anything.
Got it. That was actually a great addition. Do you think in that case, if they would warm up the audience, would it have been a better effect on like going from one name to a totally different one?
To going from one brand to different, or one look, the feel and look, yeah, and feel to another, you do need to tell your audience, because it might confuse them. Oh, I mean, you're so used to seeing them in this style and then they've gone that. So you need to tell them, we've revamped, we're refreshed. You know, this is us. This is the new look. We've done a makeover, you know, tell them about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, got it. You were talking about previously about a tone of voice, and I agree with it. Like the small hooks, the I'm loving it, and the arches, you know, everyone recognizes because it's the same thing. I think McDonald's, the only major brand, if I recall correctly, who never changed anything. Like the look, it's everything the same. The arches is the same. Everything is the same. And I remember I was reading up also about the power of visuals, and it was Burger King, right? The competition. And they changed so many times. And it's like, people don't get it anymore because you're not, you know, it's like you're in so many places, so they don't know where to put you. So in this scenario, it makes total sense what you were saying.
And it's being confident about your brand. So Burger King changing over, and recently I saw something on LinkedIn with Burger King. They had the BK with the bun, the two buns and the BK, but I recognized it because of the colors. I did still recognize it was their brand, but you just think, why do they need to change it? They don't need to. But the thing is, when you create your brand, you need to be confident about it as well, like what you create and what you do. And if you don't, if you're not confident and you're not happy with what you've done, then you need to really seriously take a look at it and get it right.
To follow up there, as you were saying, the same color. So what's the importance of color, or how can you better communicate with your colors that you're using? Who are you and what are you about?
Yeah, so on the last show with Carlos, we touched upon color as well. And it does, color evokes emotions in people. Mm-hmm. So people are quite familiar seeing certain colors associated to certain things. So for example, eco-friendly products. What's the first color that
green
comes to mind?
Green.
Yeah, green. Then the second color?
Maybe brown.
Yeah, exactly. So people associate that already, colors to certain things. And you need to think about when you do create your product or your brand. So there is product, then there's the branding for the logo and stuff. The color for the logo is also important, but you can change that subtly. You can have secondary colors actually on a logo, but it's just really, it really depends on what that brand wants and how they want to sort of change or and how they want to use that logo. So you can have obviously a black and white version always. You should always have a black and white version in the times that you can't use colors on certain articles or whatever you decide to do. But the color is important. And it's really depending on what type of company or business you are as well, or brand or product. I keep saying all these things, they're all interlinked. And it's, if you're a really fun brand, you're not going to go for black or gray because you're not that fun. If you're that color, you know, you might want to use the more vibrant, the yellows, the reds and the purples, you know, a bit more creative with the purples and the yellow, you know. And it really depends on what brands, like we just mentioned, green and brown are the first things that come to mind when you're an eco kind of friendly product. So you need to think, what is the trend? What are people actually familiar of looking at as well? And I do say you can sort of break the mold as well. You can go a bit brave and change it up as well. And it's, again, it's being vocal about your brand, vocal about the logo, how you've done it. And it's, again, giving your reasons why. And I think when you tell people the reasons why, there's no reason why people won't get it. So, you know, I think, you know, you cover all bases. And but there is like color psychology to why people choose certain colors. So I would stick to those palettes as much as possible, really.
Got it. And the first thing coming to mind was like FedEx, because they did something so bold, like the purple and orange that like it doesn't fit, like it doesn't look good. But actually, this is what they wanted to have, like something that attracts, like it's like you're recognizing a FedEx truck from like out of nowhere, you know? It's like, oh, right there on the road, so you're recognizing it. So yeah, totally. Yeah.
Absolutely. And they're a brand that is just a postal kind of courier service. So it's like there's nothing creative or anything about it, but it's about creating, standing out is one thing. So that's why they've used the colors. And again, also there is some psychology with the colors as well. So they've used those to obviously appeal to their audience as well.
Got it. We were talking about voice of customer or voice of customer. I'm thinking Amazon brain right now.
Tone of voice. Yeah.
Tone of voice. There you go. And as I was saying, total newbie starting or maybe has some experience. But how can you, like, maybe you don't understand all these things. How can you explain to someone that it's a super important thing? And if you're getting that wrong, it doesn't matter how well you're marketing the product because people still won't come to you. So how would you go about it? Like explaining someone, why is that important?
So I would explain to someone is like, why do you buy a particular brand? How are they talking to you? What are the feelings that you have when this particular brand speaks to you? Because that's the feelings you want to invoke into your customers on the Amazon platform as a seller. You need to think about, you know, how are you reaching out to your customers? And it's, again, that tone of voice you use is, you need to think about what type of product or brand you are. Are you a friendly brand saying, hey, how's it going? Or are you serious? Hello, how do you do? You know, so what kind of tone are you going to use with your customers? And there's so many different types. There's the informative type of voice, you know, you're telling them all this, little that. And is it the energetic kind of brand as well? So you have to think about all these things, because if you're not talking to your customers in a particular voice, they're going to get bored and it won't be consistent. If you set a tone of voice, it's consistent. And if you hire a copywriter or a social marketeer to do your marketing on your websites, if you're not talking the same, the customers won't get it. It won't be aligned. It won't be consistent. So you need to have that consistency on the message and the tone you use to your customers. So you need to think about who you're talking to, how are you going to talk to them, and how you're going to capture their imagination and their attention.
Get it. And it's funny that you're saying that, because for example, when we started selling on Amazon, it was like, you know, you're listening to everyone else and they're like, yes, you have to be serious, you have to be very formal. But we are in the pet niche and it's about cats, and I am part of the audience, you know. I know that people who own cats, not yeah. as you can own a cat, but you know, who have cats, they are not speaking like that. So I changed it from this very formal to very hi, and this is my name, and this is my cat's name, and hi, and this is we are, like, you know, like very, very friendly.
Your neighbor. And the way you can do that is setting a customer avatar. Who are they? Is it a he? Is it a she? How old are they? What are their interests? And you're right, with your pet brand, you'd have to talk like a pet owner to those same people. You can't be talking like, oh, I'm working in a corporate office all of a sudden to these pet owners, because that's not going to work. So you're absolutely right to have changed that.
Got it. Kitty, what question should I have asked you that I didn't ask until now?
There's so many questions. What I had for breakfast? No.
Yes, of course. Why not? I mean, we have different food here, so.
Yeah, I had a banana this morning. So boring. But no,
nutritious, not boring.
Yeah, exactly. Get my brain juices working. You know, I have creative mode today. No, I mean, I think you've asked all the right questions. You've covered everything from the color to the tone of voice to the logo and the branding. I think you've covered everything that, you know, I expected you would ask. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I do have a question. I remembered. So if it's coming to product, like having a good product or branding it in a genius way, which one do you think it was going to win? Like a good product versus a great branding?
Oh, well, it will be the branding.
Why?
If you just have a good product, it's just a good product. You don't have the branding. It's the branding that attracts the attention. You've got the tone. You've still got the logo. You've still got everything that makes a brand. It's the experience. Like I mentioned, the first thing was the impact and the experiences that you're giving to your audience. So that if you don't have branding, good branding, then you're going to fail. However good your product is, it's not going to work because you don't have your tone of voice. You don't know how you're going to market yourself. You don't know how you're talking to your audience. You don't have all the things that make a successful brand. And that is where I think you should sort of look at is the good branding versus good product.
Can you give please an example? Like what's the first thing that's coming to mind that it has a good branding, but the product is not good or not so good?
Oh gosh.
I'm asking for a friend. don't take it so too seriously.
Good branding, rubbish product. I don't think I've come across I don't think I've come across a product that's got bad branding. No, sorry, a good branding that's got a rubbish product. Let me think.
Okay, it doesn't have to be that rubbish, but it's like you won't sell this for $100, but you're still going to buy it for $20. It's worth $20, but you're going to give $200.
Yeah, I'm just probably thinking more kitchen products or something. I can't think of brand to name.
That's fine. There's no problem. Just give it.
Yeah, and I don't think there is, but I know there's probably loads of products I've used that have looked rubbish. But I don't. I think it's, if anything, it's the good branding that has got a faulty product or something within. You know, but no, I can't think off the top of my head.
Okay, being political here. I love it.
It'll come to my head when I leave in a second. It's like, oh yeah, I should have said that. So
yeah, it's fine. We can go for the second recording as well. No worries. But yeah, that's I agree with that. I actually think the reason why I asked you, because most of the time I think it's branding is what you sell, right? Or the way how I see it, like branding is selling yourself to someone who doesn't know you yet, but might have an interest in you. And at that point, it's like, you can also ask as much as you want for your product. If someone is going to believe you, that's your end price, because that's how you are valued in the eyes of your customer.
And you've hit the nail on the head, actually. It's the trust. The branding is the trust to your customers and the promise that you're going to give them. So yeah, if you don't have the promise and the trust from the customers, it doesn't matter how good your product is. You don't have that, then it's going to fail.
So how much further would you go in order to gain that trust, or to not only gain, but also to nourish that trust?
Well, gaining trust can come in various ways. Firstly, obviously have a good branding ethos. So the values, the missions, what you stand for, and obviously having reviews and testimonials do help to build more trust. If you're a new, completely new brand, and launching a new product, then you have to build something. So having a good image already, the professional image you have with the photography, how you speak to your customers, you have to have all those elements in your branding before you can even, you know, even talk to your customers. But I think you need to have that before you launch your product. And I think a lot of people have to work backwards. A lot of people have launched products and they have to work backwards. Oh, now I'm going to look at the photography because the iPhone just wasn't good enough. So you're going to have to put professional, because you've made a bit of money now. And I don't expect everyone to have lots of money or a big budget to do professional photo shoots and stuff. And you can still get good quality shots from your iPhone. But it really depends how creative you are and if you've got the eye for the detail as well. But I think building the trust, it has to come from somewhere, and looking professional enough it starts to build the trust. If you don't, if your logo looks rubbish, if your photography looks rubbish, people aren't going to trust your product, even if it is good product. Think, oh, actually, they don't look like a serious brand, you know. And so you need to start somewhere and go back to unpick the pieces, really, and start from scratch. I'm sorry, but, you know, you'll have to start from somewhere.
No, I totally agree with you. I also think that, okay, if you don't know what's not working, let's just like dial back as much as possible, you know, and see what's working. Because at the end, like, it doesn't matter how much change or how many changes are you going to make if you didn't fix like that single point that was the biggest, you know, mistake or biggest like thing that actually brought you all those customers, the additional customers.
And also to add on to that as well, it's as the Amazon owner or the business seller or whatever, would you buy your own product? Do you trust yourself? If you saw that as a listing or wherever it is, would you trust that product? And you got to take yourself out of that scenario and think, oh, actually, no, the logo looks not great. Or, I mean, it's not necessarily the logo. The photography might look horrible, or the way they're speaking, I don't like that tone of voice. It doesn't resonate with me. You know, so you need to think yourself, will you buy your own product? And that's a really good question to ask you yourself as a seller.
I love that you asked that. I think the most of the time the problem is like I see two type of people. Like the first one are like not very, they are open-minded and they would like have someone consulting like as you, like, okay, what to do, what to improve, you know, because I know that I am not a pro and I don't know what to do. The second type though is like, I'm like, no, I can do this. I have it, like, I don't care about you. And exactly as you are saying, they wouldn't, the first answer for would you buy your product would be, yes, of course, it's great, you know, when the product is not so good. So yeah, you totally get that.
And it's bad because obviously I see a lot of sellers that have created their products and they're just like, oh, no, it doesn't look great. And they're like, yeah, it's great. This is what we've made and stuff. And, you know, you see it online a lot. And anyway, it's just, you know, everyone has their own opinions. Everyone thinks they're a designer. Everyone thinks they can do their own photography and stuff. I mean, I pay for people to do my photography. I do obviously some of myself, but, you know, I need to make it look professional. The design, obviously, I can do myself. Packaging, again, I can do myself, you know, and I know what works as well. But, you know, if you're thinking of doing it all yourself, then that's not a business, really. You're just creating something that you're going to sell, and you know, you might make some money, you might not. And but again, some people have done it successfully. I'm not saying that they don't, but a lot of people fail in that sense, that they, oh, let's sell on Amazon or eBay or whatever, you know, on Shopify, and they get it so wrong. And that's where a lot of people get disheartened for being business owners and think, oh, it doesn't work. And you got to think about the branding, the message, and your, you know, the product. It might be a great product, but then you're doing something wrong. And I think you need to start thinking bigger picture. If, I mean, the brands I've worked for, I have teams. I have team of designers. There's the marketing team. There's a PR team. There's a copywriter. There's photographers. You know, so, you know, you don't do it all by yourself. Creating a brand is like different people with different skills. I'm not everything. I hire copywriters to do my copy. I can write pretty well, but, you know, my own social media posts I do myself, but I still hire copywriters to do things for me as well when I think, actually, I need them to help me with this. And I think a lot of people are too tight, or they don't have the budget, and that's where they fail, because it's like, well, you're not treating it as a business. And you've got to think, make that profit back, and then you've paid for that copywriter. You make that, you know, you make some more profit on sales and profit. You've paid for that photographer, and you've got to think bigger picture as well. So anyway, it's been going on and on.
That's great. Just go on, because yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. For example, for me, it's like sometimes I do have that what you would just describe. The problem is like I'm very creative, and I know exactly what I want. And sometimes it's like hard to explain someone else what I want, because they won't get it. And it's like, it's more time consuming. So sometimes I'm going to do all those stuff, right? Because, okay, I'm still at the beginning. I have one product, maybe two products. So at this point it's easy. But when you're scaling, it's like, I'm not sure how to like deal with all those stuff you were mentioning.
Yeah, when you're scaling, you need to invest. And investing in your own business, you'll get that back. you know, if you're confident in your product and your business, you need to invest in order to scale. You can't do everything yourself. You might, you know, you want to free yourself up looking for the next product and doing other things, you know, sourcing other, you know, other sort of avenues of things. But I think, you know, I obviously I'm very passionate about building brands and creating brands. And, you know, a lot of clients that I've had recently is like, oh, I give them some ideas and talk about, you know, building brands as well. And they're like, oh, okay, didn't think of that. Oh, that's great. I'll just jot that down. Or I give them the designs and stuff. Wow, didn't think of that actually. And, you know, when you're not a designer, you don't know the other possibilities of how, what could look good. And even as it's simple and, you know, it's just having that professional advice as well and knowing where to create a, how to create a professional brand and how it make it look. And I think, you know, I think everyone needs to sort of take a step back, because I see a lot of people who think they're designers and I'm like shaking my head. I'll do a logo for $10 or whatever it is. And it's like, I'm like, oh no, you know, and that's not a brand. You know, people are thinking, oh, who can do with my branding for $100 or something. And it's like, no.
What's the right price then there? Let's be, because you brought up a really good question.
It really depends. And I'm not mocking some designers that charge less, because there are good designers. And it's hard because I'm a qualified trained designer. I did that at university. I did 3 years of being, you know, in that zone, in that world. And I've worked in this industry for a very long time. So my prices would be much higher than someone on Fiverr.com. But they won't give you everything, the elements to creating a brand. They'll create your logo. They'll give you the logo because you asked for a logo, but you didn't tell them about your mission, your values, the personality you want to create. This is a thing. And the designer will just give you what you ask for them. And they're not thinking of how it's going to look on the product necessarily. They might, but they won't create it as a brand as such. You know, obviously there's people charge different things, and I can't really answer that, because I charge a particular premium rate, and a lot of people, it gets turned off because it's like, oh no, but then I deliver what I say and then some. And I don't just give you a logo or the brand guidelines or the logo family and stuff. It's more than that, because obviously I have my own businesses and it's about building the brand and making it more visible and how you talk to your customers. So it's bringing the brand to market, and I know all the elements of that. So it's not just the design side of things. And I think again, we're going back full circle. It's about the branding. It's the experience that you give to your customers.
Totally. And as you were saying, it's like, okay, it's you get what you're paying for. You paid for a logo, like for a $10 logo, you got a $10 logo, you know? You pay for a full brand experience to really understand what's all about. That's the price for it, you know? So I totally agree.
Yeah, and it's quite nice actually, because I had a recent client and I was a bit over their budget or just on budget. And then I gave them my designs and stuff. Wow, you're definitely worth what we paid for. Like, you know, obviously they had, you know, they knew actually they're getting quality work from me. That's what I expected. And it was really nice to hear that. It's like, actually, you know, but, you know, because I'm not the cheapest, and I'm not the most expensive either. You know, I run my own business from home. I don't charge agency rates. So, I, you know, you can charge tens and 20 thousands of pounds for a branding, but you know, I don't charge those rates. You know, I could do, well, no, maybe not, but it'd be nice to but even though I have that knowledge from industry, I don't have to charge that because I work from home and I love what I do as well. So, and it's about, for me, it's building relationships with people that I know as well, and I know some of my clients will come back to me for further work.
Yeah, definitely. And I totally agree with you. And at the end, it's like, it depends if you want to, it depends on you. What do you want? What type of clients you want? If you want to have the quick, you know, then that's what you got. If you want to really give yourself, because you're giving yourself, and it's like, not, okay, not only 10 minutes of my work, I'm just giving everything what I learned, as you were saying, studies, university, whatever. Like, that's totally, definitely. To be very respectful of your time, because I'm just going to ask questions all over again. Here are some quick fire questions.
Okay.
If you're ready for it.
All right.
If it wasn't like too hard until now, you know, it's going to be harder.
Oh my goodness.
Making joke. No worries. Like, you were brilliant and you were brilliant. So no worries for that. So the first thing, branding wise, what's the best under $50 purchase you made that helped you with your branding?
Oh, that helped me with my branding.
Mm-hmm.
Under $50.
Mm-hmm. Or under £50.
My own services.
There you go. I love it.
Actually, I probably, one of my copywriters, I just got them to write some biography descriptions for me, and I think they didn't charge me that much. So I think that would probably be one of the values I got for like building my brand.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. And that's also something that you would recommend someone. That's the first thing that you would think of, like under $50, that's the go-to, right? Copywriting?
Yeah. Yeah, one of the elements of it. There's different things, because obviously with branding, I do it all myself. So it's like, you know, it's hard. That's a tricky question. Probably with photographers. The next one would be photographers, getting branding photography and stuff done. And I've had some photography offered for free as well for mm-hmm. some of my products when I first launched my other products. So that's under $50, not even a dollar. So
there you go. So we have two things. I was asking for one, two things. Also copywriting and photography. Brilliant.
Yeah.
What are your top favorite books? Like three books that you are the go-to books that you adore.
Okay. So one of my favorite books is Key Person of Influence by Daniel Priestley, which is, I've got it right in front of me. So the Key Person of Influence. And
awesome.
That's really great for building yourself, your personal branding in your industry. So he has a 5-step strategy of doing that. And it's really great with like the marketing side of things. It's pitching your voice. Let me just highlight it. Hold on. So
I love
it's like doing a pitch. I highlighted it with.
I love it.
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head. So much goes in my head and it's like, oh. So it's like you need a perfect pitch and then you've got to publish your ideas. And then it's about productizing the value that you have and then raising your profile. And then there's partnerships as well. So that's really key things of building your personal brand. And that's what I'm doing as well, building my personal brand in the last year. And I'm doing everything that he's saying in the book and just really sort of keeping everything consistent. The second book I mentioned to Carlos actually last time, and it's one of my favorites, is Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a really, really good book that I just praise and tell people, like, you should read it. It's really great. And that's using a seven-step method, a story brand method, to building your brand as well in the marketing arena. So I think that's really good. And then the third book that I really actually enjoyed as well is actually from the same author, mm-hmm. Daniel Priestley again, called Oversubscribed. So mm-hmm. that book is about making people want your services, that they'll pay top money for it. You have to be so scarce at what you do. So basically it's the scarcity, but being able to price yourself at a particular level, and then, you know, you basically, people, instead of finding 10 clients, you just need 2 clients to cover, you know, the cash flow for like the month and stuff. But it's talking about being oversubscribed. So you basically, people want your services, but you know, there's a particular way and strategy he uses in the the book. And I think that's a really good one, and especially if you're talking about products or any services that you have in business. I think that's a good book to read as well.
Awesome. Amazing. Thank you. Just gave me awesome homework. So I love it. Yeah. go and read all of this because I haven't. So Kitty, what's the best way people can get a hold of you, say hi, or just learn more about your services?
Yeah. So I have several businesses anyway, but my main one is Me Brand. So you can find me on LinkedIn, just as Kitty Lai, or Instagram, kittylai.brand, or my Me Brand services would be me.brandingyou on Instagram, and that will feed through to my websites and messaging and stuff. So you can find me there as well. I'm also on Facebook, but
yes, you are.
Yeah, so I think I'm the first person that comes up, or the second person that comes up on Google search. So it'll take you straight to my LinkedIn profile and you'll find me there. I think I'm around a bit, so hopefully the SEO is working on all the systems. So, but yeah.
I think the best SEO that you made it work is the same profile picture, branding.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, you need to keep consistent. Otherwise, people won't recognize you. And I use the same profile picture on everything, pretty much everything. So yeah.
Definitely. Kitty, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you 1,000 times for your time. It was amazing. And I hope that all my questions just helped our listeners as well. For me also, it was super, super interesting to learn from a pro, because, you know, you're reading, it's different when you're reading stuff and when you're learning for someone who's been doing this for decades. So thank you so much for your time and for sharing your experience.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And it's so lovely to meet you finally as well. And and it's really great. And I hope I can come back again.
Yeah, of course, of course.
At some point. We don't have to talk about branding. We can talk about other things.
Breakfast.
Yeah, breakfast, shoes, handbags.
I'm up on I'm a girl, I'm open for all those. Yeah. So thank you once again. And goodbye to our listener. Thank you so much for listening. We are back next week, still on Wednesday. This is going to be Wizard Wednesday. I'm going to brand it to Wizard Wednesday. Let's see how it sticks, that branding as well. Okay, well, thank you so much and see you next time. I'll be back.
Bye. It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.